All right, I want to talk to you this morning. Am I on? Did I turn it on? Hallelujah. All right, I want to talk to you this morning, ask you a question about whether you're listening. I need you to go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, we'll spend some time there. Matthew chapter 13, in verse 9. And the subtitle of this message is, what could you hear if you actually tried to listen? What could you hear? Nita and I would go through different stages when we were having children. Notice she had children, but I said we. And there would be times when, you know, one of the kids, if they whimpered, she was up like a bullet. She could hear the smallest little whimper. Then the next kid, it was my turn. And either she was faking it or she couldn't hear him, and then I could hear him. And, you know, you can hear things. I remember when we first moved to Ireland, and I don't know if the house that we were living in was settling, or then we moved here. This house settled the same way, but in the middle of the night, you hear a clunk. And Nita would grab me with her fingernails, digging into my chest. There's somebody downstairs. I didn't hear anything, you know. It's amazing what you can hear when you're listening. Look at chapter 13 and verse 9. Jesus says these words. They're very simple words. He says, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, if you have ears, you should be listening. You should hear. In this modern day, however, we put so much importance on seeing. We're a very visual generation. People don't read with their eyes anymore. They read with a picture. They want a picture. They want a graphic. They want something flipping on the television that tells them a story. But they don't hear the story. Ears today are used mainly for decoration. But there's a lot about hearing in the Bible. But you know, God puts more emphasis on our ears than what we do with them. He says this. He says in Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. We think, oh, I'm going to school and they're going to use PowerPoint. They're going to show me on chalkboards the formulas. I'm going to see great things and learn great things. You probably won't. Because if you don't have a listening ear, what you see will not make any sense. You've got to use your ears. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, become very wise. Proverbs 8:6 says, hear, for I will speak of excellent things. That's God talking. If you listen, I'll talk about some excellent things. And the opening of my lips shall be right things. There's so much about hearing in the Bible, because according to the Bible, the fastest way to the heart, are you listening, ladies? I know they tell you the fastest way to your husband's heart is through his stomach. According to the Bible, the fastest way to a heart is through the ear. Jesus said, let these things sink down deep in your ears, because from the ears go right to the heart. The heart and the ears, not the eye and the heart, but the ears and the heart are so close and so connected. Question this morning I'd like to ask is, do we prepare our hearts so that we are hungry to hear something when we come to church? I mean, what if this morning Michael and Marzia brought filet mignon? You know what that is, don't you? It's French for fancy meat. Fancy meat. What if they brought, what would be a real cool dish to fix? What is your favorite food to fix? Make it ours. Huh? Come on, don't just look at me. Help me out here. All right, well, they're not helping me out, but favorite. What if they fix an homemade pizza? Cheeseburgers, come on, I'll make you hungry now. And laid it all out there, and if you knew they were fixing food, you would come hungry, wouldn't you? You'd say, I don't want to eat breakfast, because when I get there, I know there will be a spread tables long. Listen, when you come to church, you ought to be starving to hear from God. Do we prepare our hearts so that we're hungry to hear? You say, show me something, Pastor. I would rather turn that off and let you hear what needs to be said. But I know we're a visual generation that you can't. I'll lose you in 6 minutes. We're not an audio generation, we need to see things so that we go, ah, and I don't mind that, but if you're not listening, all the pretty pictures of the world won't matter at all. Amen? Do we hang on every word? If you were very ill and you got to the doctor and the doctor examined you and then sat down there and said, I've got something to tell you, you would stop breathing in order to hear every word. Amen? And that's only about physical life. What if it's your eternal destiny? What if it is your spiritual life that somebody is talking to you about? You should hang on every word. Or are we so full of that everything that is said from this book is only muffled sounds? And I'll use Eric and Tony from yesterday in Bible Institute. We started off and we're going along and I said, Tony, about this. And he went, what? Were you talking to me? All I heard were muffled sounds. Remember that? Is our schedule, is our life so full up that when God is speaking, it's just... Is that all you hear? Those are serious questions, because if God's speaking, you better hear. We often so desire, especially when we're praying, God, don't you hear me? And you know what? That's not as important as, I need to hear Him. I must hear Him. Now, the ear is a miracle of design. Go to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Brother Dan spoke on some of these things last time there, a couple of weeks back. I want to build on them. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 12, as we learn about being a ready-to-hear church. Proverbs chapter 20. God designed the ear. Proverbs 20 and verse 12 says, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, evolution has made them both. Is that what it says? Oh. The Lord hath made both of them. You know, the ear is amazing. It is no accident. It is not a freak of evolution. It is on purpose that God gave us big ears, and some of us bigger than others. Our ears are designed not to look pretty. I hated my ears growing up. Anybody else like that? I just did. I mean, some of you hate your nose. Some of you hate your hair. I hated my ears. But God designed those ears so that it would catch sound. It wasn't for beauty. It was so that you could listen. And my mom, I believe my ears are bigger because this is how my mom handled my ears. So, point taken. But our ears are amazing. It is designed to catch sound waves. Now, it is so designed that God created something where here's your ear, but He created an ear canal, a tube that would carry those sound waves. I mean, your ear is not flapping with the sound. But it catches the sound, it drives it down that canal to what we call the eardrum. Let's just not be technical. Well, we normally think the eardrum is where we hear. It's not. The ear begins at the eardrum. Sound starts there, but that's not where sound is understood. That very thin membrane has three of the tiniest bones in your body attached to it. These tiny bones, these are the smallest bones in your body, and there are three of them, not one, not two. There are three, and they're intensely complex. They are like, there are three of them that rock together with sound. And they're so gentle that will make them wibble. Will make them shake. They're bones, and yet they move at the slightest amount of sound. They carry the movement of the sound waves that come down this canal and bounce on this thing. These things wobble back and forth. They carry the movement of sound there so that this is called a stirrup. It's just a bone there that latches on to a piston. And it pumps at the speed of the sound wave. So it goes... Or if it's really low, talking... Now what's happening is you have air out here, sound wave coming in. This vibrating... The vibration is transferred to here, and then this wonderful device, looks like a snail, is filled with fluid. You ever had vertigo? You've been sick, you can't get up because you're dizzy? It's because in here, there's a virus. It's an ear infection. It's something, and here is where hearing takes place. Now notice where it is. This bone surrounding the whole thing is the strongest bone in your body. You think your tongue is strong. This is the strongest bone in the body to protect this most incredibly delicate device. This piston pump vibrating, it is attached to what's called the cochlea. All right, the cochlea is a tiny little chamber shaped like a snail shell. That piston pushes and pulls out the fluid in that cochlea, so the sound waves now are pushed up and back, very fast. Do you know how fast you can hear sound moving? 20,000 hertz, which means 20,000 vibrations a second. Now, you've heard voices where somebody's singing, ah, glass breaks, you know. All right, that's probably 8,000. But your hearing is able to hear 20,000 hertz, or 20 kilohertz. And that piston's going so fast and pumping that liquid at that vibration. It's amazing. Evolution is incredible, isn't it? That fluid going there, that's not even the beginning of the amazement. Inside this thing called the cochlea, I mean, I could have come up with a better name than that, but anyway, inside there are tiny little hairs. Some of you that are bald, take courage. If you can hear, you still got hair, all right? They are the smallest hairs. They are inside this twisting chamber, along a part of the wall, all the way through, and there are literally millions of these tiny hairs. It doesn't stop there. These hairs are like a very long piano. Our pianos have 88 keys. You hit one note, boom, boom, boom. All right, why am I able to tell that one's high, that one's medium, that's low? Because along that trail are nerves that are attached to those hairs. And when there is a certain sound, all of those hairs are moving, but there is a nerve attached that says, ooh, I like that. I'm going to tell the brain that's my kind of a sound. And so the brain gets about 30,000 signals coming at it telling, this was high, this was low, this was medium, this was high, this was low, this was medium. And the brain makes sense of it and says, oh, they're speaking. All because of some hairs that get agitated. When these hairs are being moved by that liquid going back and forth, remember what I talked about, that piston's moving that liquid? These little bitty hairs are being agitated, and they're connected to a nerve. And those nerves go, ouch, 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 ouch. And they start sending signals to the brain. And the brain goes, they're talking. They're singing. Oh, that's a baby crying. All along this cochlea are specific nerves that know exactly to listen for certain frequencies. What's the point? The point is, it is designed. If it was an accident, all you would hear is noise. That's all you could process. But God designed you so that you can hear the smallest whisper or the loudest shout, and you know the difference. It is a miracle. This thing is so amazing. The ear is one of the most delicate parts of your body, and it is placed in one of the hardest bones in your body for protection. It's designed, by the way, to hear things. We're miraculously designed to hear sounds. Like you can hear from something from far away, and you know it's far away. You ever been somewhere and somebody tested out a Dolby sound system? You ever heard of those things? And they move across the ballots, and there's nobody there, but they can change the speakers, and the speaker direction moves from left to right across, and you go, I hear it moving across the room. Sound, you can tell, oh, that was from over there, oh, that's from behind me. You know, the distance between here and here isn't that far, and yet it's enough for me to tell Kathy's talking to me. Oh no, there's a voice now from this side. We can actually go along and we can find out, but before x-rays were ever invented, we could go along a wall. We could tell if it's hollow, Well, thick, solid. Our ears are amazing. I watched a Discovery Channel last night. It was amazing how timing it was. This guy blinded, well, not purposely, but he covered up the sight of these people, and he tested how their ears work. And did you know, when you're walking, you may not be paying attention, like most of us, and as you're walking along, and you can, even without even knowing it, you can sense there's a wall there. Because you hear, like a bat, you hear the echo of even the softest footsteps on floor telling you you're coming close to something. Our ears are constantly, constantly working, and we don't even know it. It's designed to hear things. But do we listen with it? Do we pay attention? What could you hear if you just tried to listen? If God designed this thing so marvelously, what if I actually used it for what it was designed for? What if I actually closed my mouth and I just listened? I pray you listen this morning because it might change your life. Father, please bless these thoughts, these truths, this challenge. God, somebody needs to get saved. Somebody else needs to get back to trusting you and knowing that all they need is to hear one word from you. All they need is something from you. God, there's plenty of people in this room who come to church, their ears are here, but they're not listening. Some even open their Bible, but they don't pay attention. God, may we listen and hang on every word, because something here will be for everyone in this room. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you listening? Go back to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus taught throughout his ministry years. For the first 30 years of his life, he's sort of laying low. Stays quiet. But at 30 years old, he begins to teach. Now, Jesus did many miracles, didn't he? But he did more teaching than he did miracles. Chalk that up. He would travel, and then he would stop, and he would speak to crowds who came to hear what he would have to say. Look at chapter 13, verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house, and he sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and a whole multitude stood on the shore. What are they there for? To listen to him. He's surrounded. I mean, all he did was go sit on the shore. He's probably just relaxing. He's probably just pondering, doing some meditation, probably digesting his breakfast. I don't know. But there he is, and people began to gather around him, and it got so packed around him, he got out on a ship, and the ship pulled him out there so that on that ship, he could speak to the entire crowd. Jesus, that was his way of life. That was every day, almost, he would do that. Oftentimes, crowds would fill a house he was in. Remember where the house he was in? It was actually Peter's house. His wife really got upset because somebody broke open the roof and dropped down a guy because this crippled man, this man with palsy, could not be gotten to Jesus. So they got up on the roof. Why couldn't they get to him? The doors weren't locked. There were so many people. They were packed inside and outside. It was all to hear the word of God. Sometimes they would fill not only a house, but a mountainside. There was a day where he fed 6,000, actually 5,000 men, sorry. He fed 5,000 men because they came to hear the word of God. But today, it says great multitudes are gathered around him, and all he could do was climb into a ship, push away a little way, so his voice would carry and be heard by the whole crowd. There, that multitude stood silently on the shore listening. And look at verse 3. He taught about four soils. Verse 3, and I won't teach about them this morning because I'm going to another point, but I want you just to pay attention and see which soil is like you. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. A sower is a farmer. Sowing is planting. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, burned out. Because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them, but other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30-fold. And that's when he says, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So the parable that he teaches, the story he teaches, is about soil, four of them to be exact. And he's speaking about how we respond to the Word of God. Look at verse 9. I'm sorry. Look at verse 18. Jesus explains, he says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Let me explain it to you. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one. Who's the wicked one? That's Satan. And he catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Now, what you're looking at, when he's talking about the soils, he's talking about our hearts, how we receive it. Are we hard? Like a footpath? What will grow on a footpath? Nothing. Are we like stony ground? There's some parts that are soft, but there's a lot that's still hard. Are we like the thorny ground that has soft soil, but there's so much in there that is overtaken our lives, like cares, worries, stress, bills, debt, problems, that the word cannot produce fruit? Or are we like the soft soil that when the seed hits it, it produces fruit? You plant one kernel of corn and you get 3 ears of corn on a stalk, each one having 300 kernels. That's a lot of corn from one little seed. Which soil are you, Jesus is asking. In the end, Jesus pleads with everyone to hear what he said. Now, you got to understand, they're all sitting there going, where's the punchline? What did he just say? They're all confused. They had heard his words. He's loud and clear. And believe me, Jesus did not speak in a wimpy voice. He didn't need a microphone. He's able to speak to 5,000 men and be heard. But he asked, have they understood him? Did they know what he was trying to teach them? You know what he's teaching about? A kingdom. A kingdom that was coming where he would be king. It's called heaven on earth. And he was teaching about how to get into that kingdom. Don't you think that's pretty important to listen to? But they weren't listening. And what was a problem was what they heard, because it didn't make sense to them, it didn't draw them closer to God. Now, throughout his ministry of teaching and miracles, Jesus begs people over and over to listen, to have attentive ears. Because, listen, the truth is this. Hearing is more important than seeing. Somebody says, I'm not going to believe it till I see it. You know, that's what Thomas said, didn't he? You know what Jesus said? I'm glad you believe, Thomas. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet will believe, because they'll hear of it. Hearing is more important than seeing. Even the 12 disciples were confused. Look at verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Why do you talk in these dark, hard sayings? They're not clear. They're not easy to understand. Why do you use them? Why not just explain everything, Jesus? Why do you make it hard? Jesus then takes the time, and this is where we're going to really think this morning, to explain why people don't use their ears right. Start there in verse 10. He's go back there, and he says, the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. That sounds unfair. Watch it. For whosoever, circle that word. What does whosoever mean, Weston? Everybody, anybody. It's not just for the elite, or not just for the intellectual, or not just for the wealthy, and not just for the white man, not for the Jew, not for, watch. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. Whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they seeing, or they got eyes, yet they see not. And hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled a prophecy. The prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart, notice the hearing, it's connected to the heart, is waxed. There's a modern word, gross. It means full. And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes, who's closed? They have closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. One of the most dangerous things is to come to a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church and then close your ears. Because do you realize how close you are to getting right with God and getting saved and getting into the kingdom? And yet you're damning your own soul. You say, you don't preach very well. You don't listen very well. Amen. Our ears is where the problem is. Let's keep going. Verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, talking to his disciples, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men back in the Old Testament have desired to see those things which ye see now, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and they have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. And he goes on to explain it to his disciples. Four things real interesting about why people don't use their ears right is because truth must be wanted. You know, you have the best teacher in the world in school, and you still flunk. Amen? And you can be the dumbest kid on the block, but still make perfect grades. Because you want the grades. Because you want the score. Not because you're very intelligent, but because you put out the effort. Amen? And Jesus is very clearly saying, you got to want what I'm teaching. And if you don't want it, I'm not going to go any further with you. That ought to terrify you. Truth must be wanted. Secondly, the more we learn, the more we're taught. Isn't that cool? Do you know what? If you start, I'll use this illustration. Paul's talking to Timothy, young Timothy. Paul's about ready to catch a plane out of here. He says, the time of my departure is at hand. He's about ready to go home to heaven. And he says to Timothy, he says, it's going to get rough. Timothy, you better endure. But he says one thing that's absolutely amazing. He says, you need to lay hold, get a hold of eternal life. You need to have such a grip on it that this world doesn't have any more grip on you. When he says, it ought to be so important to you that you don't let go. When you're hearing these words, you need to be taking, I got that. Put it everywhere, store it away, because you will need what I'm teaching this morning. Actually, you need every time we have church. Get a hold of it and hold on to it. Because the more you get, the more you hold on to, the more you're given. Does that make sense? If I did this, if I came along, and I know some people, if I had a 5-euro note, I said, here's 5 euros. And he went, no, I don't want it. Okay. And I went over here to Luke, and I said, here's 5 euros. And Luke says, thank you. I said, here's another one. Thank you. Here's another one. Thank you. Here's a 20. Thank you. And now Roland says, I'll take it now. But you see, that's how God is. He holds something out, and we go, no, not interested. Let me tell you, he starts off with 5-euro notes, but God doesn't stop there. When you start taking the truths from this book, he starts opening up your life and your heart and your future to such things that nobody can compete with. But you got to want it, and you got to hold on to it. Thirdly, the less we're interested in God's truth, guess what? God just doesn't leave you alone. He takes what you had. You say, well, let me be real plain. Some of you got some of the best truth, some of the most investment from your parents and from this preacher and from Sunday school. You've been given so much. One of these days you got your back against God and you're walking away. You won't even remember John 3:16. God will take it away from you. You don't use what you got. It goes. God takes away what you have. And lastly, it was predicted in the Bible. It's not like a surprise to God. He said, their ears, their eyes, where's my picture? We've closed. That's what we're like. I'm looking at you. I can see you right now. We just stop our own ears. Did you know if you just wanted to, you could get saved today? If you just wanted to. You can't save yourself, but you can want to be saved. Smartest thing I ever did was want to be born again. I ain't done many smart things, but I did that one right. What could you hear if you just tried to listen instead of talking all the time? Don't we talk a lot? Don't we talk too much? You ever said something you wish you could take it back? You ever said volumes and wish you could... What if we just listened? What if we, instead of thinking we know better all the time, instead of being angry and frustrated all the time, wouldn't it be wonderful if we just listened? What would we hear? Here's our application. It's funny. Go to 1 Corinthians. We're finished in Matthew. 1 Corinthians. It's funny how the same words, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, can thrill one person and can torment another. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, what is it? It's only foolishness. It's a waste of their time, but to us which are saved, it's what? It's a thrill of our life. It's the power of God in our life. It's what changed our life. The reason is not because the Bible needs to be updated, by the way. It's not because the Bible doesn't have pictures. The reason why one person enjoys and the other person doesn't is because one of them's listening and the other one's not. Some people can't hear. There are people who are born deaf, but did you know I found that people who are born deaf can hear better than a lot of us. They can hear. They have senses. They use their other senses to make up for the fact that they can't hear. So we're not talking about that kind of a deafness, but look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You're in chapter 1. Look at chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man, speaking of an unsaved person, somebody who's not born again, you're only born the first time. The natural man receiveth not, can't hear the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? They're simply foolishness. They're vanity. They're a waste of time unto him. Neither can he know them because they are only what? Spiritually discerned. They can't hear. You know what? I may not be able to hear the voice of God, but I ought to hear his knock when he's trying to get my attention. And well, how do you find the voice of God? All I know is he's probably knocking. He's probably turning your world upside down so you finally look up and say, God, speak, I'm ready to hear you. Amen? A lot of people, you know, that's why Jesus kept pleading with people to get born again. Some people can't hear. You know, if you're here this morning, you're not saved, you could just sit there and look at me like an owl. You know how owls do that, you know? You just sit there like that, and you're enduring to the end. But maybe it's because you can't hear. You've never been born again. Everything I'm saying is just... All right, I understand that. Something's going to make sense to you. You ought to act on that. Second, some people won't hear. Listen to these verses. Zechariah chapter 7 says this. Speaking of Israel... They refused to hearken. They pulled away the shoulder. They stopped their ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone. That's the hardest stone known. Lest they should hear his law and the words which the Lord has sent me in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came great wrath from the Lord of hosts because they wouldn't hear. 2 Kings 17 says, yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets, kept sending the prophets to them, and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways, and keep my commandments and my statutes, according to all the law which I command your fathers, and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. Turn, repent, hear them, do what they say. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but they hardened their necks. It's amazing. How much of our body can become hard? They hardened their necks like the neck of their fathers that did not believe in the Lord their God. Some people won't hear. Some people would rather have their ears tickled. We got a third dog, and may he be our last. We've got our third dog here, and you know what that dog loves? Oh, my goodness. Jumping all around Lizzie, jumping around, and you just grab her and start to rub those ears, and she's like butter. Oh.
So are you.
You turn on that television, and some one of your favorite talk show hosts is on there, you go, oh, tickle away. No wonder you don't hear the Word of God. That's all you want. Some people love to hear the praises of men. Well, I'll go because somebody else appreciates me over there. Nobody in that church appreciates me. Nobody likes me. Nobody loves me. I'm going to eat a worm. My dad used to sing that song to me. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to eat a worm. First you pop the head off, then you suck the juice out. Good. See, what'd your dad teach you that for? I have no idea, but it stuck. So if that's your interest, if that's what you're looking for, you will find it. Let me tell you, this is not a place that praises men. We praise Jesus. We want to lift Him up so that all men will be drawn unto Him. Does that make sense? Some people want to fill their hearts with filth and with sin, with pornography, with wicked thoughts and imaginations. No wonder this generation can't hear God pleading. Revelation 22, verse 17, one of the most passionate pleas in the Bible says this. The Spirit and the Bride say, speaking of Jesus, the Holy Spirit and the church say, come. And let him that heareth also say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The last prayer in the Bible is, come to Christ. Come to Jesus Christ. You know what's a shame? The world doesn't hear it. Doesn't hear it. Because they won't hear it. But thankfully, there are some people who do love to hear it. Let me read Mark 12. Mark 2 says that again, he entered into Capernaum. And after... There it is. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Maybe they came wanting to see a miracle, but they got the word. And they loved it. Acts 13:44 says, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together, not for St. Patrick's Day, but to hear the word of God. Some people, I'm glad some people, I'm looking at them, love to hear the word of God. Nehemiah chapter 8 says, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until the midday. Before all the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Luke 19:48 says, and all the people were very attentive to hear him. Thankfully, some people love to hear from God. So what do you do now? Let me ask you a question again. What could you hear if you just tried to listen? What if you said, you know what, I need to start listening. What could you hear? Well, the first thing you should hear is instruction. I've been giving you some instructions this morning. Every time we have church, we're learning something. Hear instruction. I mean, be teachable. Don't think that you're so smart. You know, my dad told me that when I was a kid, saying, you think you're so smart, the older you get, the dumber you get. I didn't believe him. But it's true. The older I get, the more I find out I don't know. And then I sure needed to listen to the old man. Listen to instruction. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not, Solomon said to his son Rehoboam. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in the latter end when you get older. Consider it, receive it, think about it, understand it, and agree with it. Sometimes we don't mind being taught some things, but we certainly mind rebuke and reproof. And yet, that is what I'm called to do. You may not like it. Let me tell you what God called me to do. You ready? Go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, chapter 4, in verse 2. I am commanded by God to, look at verse 2, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. I'm commanded to preach the word.
I am to be instant when it's in season and when it's out of season. When it's popular and when it's not popular. Look at the next three words. Reprove. Is that positive or negative? Negative. Rebuke. Positive or negative? Negative. Exhort. Now that's pretty positive. Encourage with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not, they being your audience, will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves, not preachers anymore, but they'll heap to themselves teachers. There are those itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto evolution. Oh, I'm sorry. Fable, same thing. I'm called, I'm commanded to preach, whether you like it or not, whether you come or you don't. I always wondered, Mike, I always wondered, what would it be like if I came to church and there was nobody here? You know what? I've never had that. Never had somebody not there when I was trying to preach. But I always wondered, would I go ahead and preach anyway? Because God called me to preach. I'm glad if there's one, two, Jesus said, if two or three are gathered together, that's good enough for him to show up. Amen? But when I preach, it'll be what he says. When I preach, it'll be not because it'll make you feel good, although I know it will make you feel good in the end. We hear reproof and rebuke. Reproof and rebuke are negative words. They're words that tell somebody that they're doing something wrong, that they're away from God, that they need to get right. That's reproof and rebuke. But hear correction. Did you know when you correct somebody, do you know what you're doing? You're helping them. You're trying to save them from some trouble down the line. Amen? You know what we need to do? We need to listen. Listen. When I was a kid, my neighbors had the same authority of my mom and dad. My neighbors, if I was in their garden, my neighbors would come out, and I mean they would pick me up by the back of the trousers and you didn't ask to come into the back garden. And I'm not going to tell you, it was very uncomfortable. But they carried me to the front door, knocked on the door, and says, your boy was in my back garden. My dad took the back of my trousers from that time. And as the door was closing, my neighbor, he was a mean guy, he was a bad guy, it was all his fault. Anyway, the neighbor's saying, you could get hurt in my back garden. I have tools back there. I have a shed. I have things back there that you don't understand. I was probably 5, 6 years old. He's trying to teach me something. He's rebuking me. He's trying to save me from serious injury. Amen. And my neighbors, thank God for those kind of neighbors today who will say, I don't care whether the parents are going to get upset. I'm trying to save this kid. And if you have a child and this pastor gets in your kid's face and tells them he's wrong and he's headed to hell, he needs to get saved, he needs to get his life right, he needs to get out of the mess he's in, don't you get mad at me for upsetting your son or your daughter. Amen. You need to hear instruction. Yes, you need to hear rebuke. You need to hear correction. Your parents may be terrified of you. I'm not. Amen. You can write about me on Facebook. You can write about me on Twitter. I answer to him. And I've had the problem of dealing with neighbors who, when I tried to correct their kids, I got World War III. But we need to listen to correction. We need that. Ignore the praise of people. I mean, ignore it. If you're saved this morning and you would rather hear the praise of your friends, the praise of the buddies, the praise of other people than to hear sound doctrine and hear somebody tell you the truth, you need to run from them and get into that book and say, God, I'm wrong. Something's wrong with me. I don't enjoy this book. Don't get mad at the book. Don't get mad at the preacher. Get mad at yourself and say, God, fix me! Because that praise, what does it say? The kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Ignore the praise of the people. Listen to your parents. And maybe your parents gave up trying to talk to you. Listen to them. You know, how long are you supposed to honor your parents by listening to them? All your life. You know, you get married and you're out of the house. You don't have to obey them now, but you ought to listen to them. You ought to sit down with your parents and say, Mom, Dad, you know, I'm getting ready. I think I'm in love. Do you think I'm ready? Dad, do you think I'm ready to take the responsibility of being a husband? I'm thinking about changing jobs. It's going to mean I'm moving over to an area and I'm moving out of the house. Is that the right thing I should do? You say, my parents aren't that smart. I'll hold you while they hit you. Listen to your parents. They may not disagree with you. Surprise, surprise. But they might have some wisdom for you. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, Solomon said, and forsake not the law of thy mother. That was Solomon talking to his 20-year-old son. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father. Attend to no understanding. Hear, O my son, receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Here's the surprise. Listen to your spouse. Listen hard. I saw a couple in a cartoon, and the woman sitting there and the guy sitting there at a restaurant and they're eating. The guy's sitting there on his iPhone going through the mail and the Facebook and everything. And she says, can I borrow your iPhone for a second? And he says, what do you want it for? She said, I'm just going to tape it here so that at least you can look my way when you're looking at your iPhone. Husbands and wives need to have time where they just listen to each other. In order. Not at the same time. But that was a joke, but that was a good one. We need to listen to each other. We need to ask questions. I've read all of the marriage books say one great truth. Ask questions. Don't act like you understand. You know, a man goes, I understand. Yeah. And she says, what did I say? At which point, you know, as you're talking, says, stop. Is this what I hear you saying? You know what that does? It saves divorce. Stop and ask questions. Listen to one another. Listen hard. Ladies, if you think that you are so good at listening, you have this different set of problems, but you also need to listen to the guy. He probably has three words to say, but let him say it. Amen. Listen to your spouse. You know what might be true? They might be right. Let them be right. And appreciate them for trying to help. Listen to your spouse. But most of all, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. You're in 2 Timothy. Go to the left, find 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. Most of all, listen to the Word of God. Notice, I didn't say listen to the King James Bible. You're not listening to King James. Who are you listening to? God. The reason why his name's on your Bible is because he was around at the time it was published. That's it. He's not the author of that book. You're not listening to Mr. James. When you pick up this book, it is called the Word of God. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Is it 13 or 15? 2:13. I'm in Colossians. No wonder it didn't work. 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when ye received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Make the Bible, listening to this book, the priority. Listen to it. You know what that book will do? It'll wash you clean. See, I don't understand it. You know, you don't have to understand water to take a bath. I'm going to go get us some H2O. You don't care. Except that it's clean. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. That book will clean you out. You got a problem with pornography, you got a problem with anger, you got a problem with bitterness, you got a problem with depression, you got a problem with frustration, you got a problem with you, let the book clean you out. Just read it and let it clean you out. It'll clean you up, it'll strengthen you. All Jesus had to do was speak a word and people were healed. There was a man, a centurion, who sent for Jesus. He had a servant who was sick and dying, and he sent for Jesus to come. As Jesus got close to the house, he sent another servant to go to Jesus. He said, stop, stop. I'm unworthy. My master is unworthy, he says, of having you in his house. But he says, just speak the word, and his servant will be healed. And Jesus said, that's great faith. He says, go tell your master it's going to be okay. His servant's going to be all right. The power of that book to strengthen and change your life. That book will not return to God void. It will not bounce off and do nothing if you let it get in. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by seeing and seeing. That's not what it says, is it? I'm glad I didn't write the Bible. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want your faith to grow? Read the book. Read the book. Let it be your meditation. Let it be what you think about. If you've got bad dreams at night, if you keep waking up 3-4 times in the night because you're running from dragons and running from gargoyles or running from mermaids, I don't know what you're running from. You ought to run from mermaids, by the way. Anyway, you're falling and you're battling fires and everything else. The last thing you should do is read you 2, 3, 4 chapters in your Bible and let that be your thought when you go to bed. Amen. It'll calm you down, man. I don't need this. You will one day. You've got to listen to the Word of God. You know, when you were a kid, you probably learned the math table, didn't you? Huh? 1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 2 = 4. You remember all that? Remember trying to ask your parent, ask your teacher, why? She said, shut up and memorize that. Remember that? Maybe you had nicer teachers than I did. More important than memorizing math tables, more important than memorizing periodic tables, more important than memorizing the distance between the earth and the moon, more important than memorizing anything else is memorizing this book. You ought to know it. You know, the psalmist said, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for I obey thy precepts. How do you obey what you don't know? Learn that book. You want to be smarter than me? That's easy. Learn the book. You want to be smarter than Stephen Hawking? Read the book. And let me say it this way. You don't just get information. We're an information generation, aren't we? We have information at our fingertips. We go to Wikipedia. We go on the internet. We go looking for this, do that. Don't just get information. The Bible says, be ye doers of the word, and please don't stop with hearing, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You learn it so you can do it. And listen, to hear the word of God, you have, I've got news for you. You ready? You heard the word of God this morning. Wasn't that painful? All you had to do was shut up for about 45 minutes, amen? Come back tonight, you'll hear it again. Come back on Wednesday night, you'll hear it again. I think you ought to be here I believe it. We ought to be here every time those doors are open so we can hear the Word of God. What do you just listen? He that hath ears to hear. You got ears? Let him hear. Hear what? What the Holy Spirit is speaking. What Jesus Christ taught. What transformed this world in the first generation and in the second century and in the third century and through the fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh and eighth and ninth and tenth centuries and 11th and 12th and 13th centuries and the 14th and 15th and 16th centuries. How do people survive through the dark ages? How do they get through the World War I and World War II? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. That book's the only thing that keep you sane. Give you rest at night and give you hope for tomorrow. Listen to it. You got ears to hear. You need to hear. And let every man say it with me. Let every man be swift, which means quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to... You know what's funny? Reverse it. If you're quick to get angry, your tongue will be right behind it. Lashing the other person. And the last thing you'll do is find out, oh, I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. If you wait till the last to hear, you'll always, always have regrets. Swift to hear. What is stopping you from hearing this morning? Maybe you're listening to the wrong kind of words. Proverbs 19:27 says this, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth thee to err from the words of knowledge. Stop who you are listening to so you can listen to who really loves you, who knows you inside and out. Stop from hearing instruction that causes you to sin. Maybe quiet time is lacking in your life. You know what's amazing to me? Somebody who's 13, 14 has no time. That blows me away. How can you be 14 years old and not have time? I know you got your pre-test, you got all these things. Get over it. You've got time to be listening to that book and walking with God. You got time to be out soul winning on Saturday. You got time to be in church Sunday morning and Sunday night and on Wednesday night. You got time. And you got time to pull aside from everything else, throw the phone over there, turn the radio, the TV, the internet. Look at all the things that buy our time. Turn it all off and sit down and say, God, you and me got to talk, and I'm here to listen. And open that book and spend a half hour in your Bible. You know why you can't hear from God this morning? Because you don't have a habit of it. Quiet time. Most precious time you'll ever have. You'll actually, if you ever start it and you get into it, you'll fight to keep it. Apathy. That's probably the biggest reason. Just not interested. Matthew 13, let down a little from where we were just reading the Bible. Oh, we were reading it, where Jesus said, for this people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. They're not interested. And their eyes, they have closed. Just not interested. Maybe you're in that boat. I pity you. Because I was in that boat too. For some reason, God had grace and wisdom enough to get that man of God to say something that scared me and rattled my cage. So I went, did he say that? He's talking about me. He's saying, I'll go to hell. Not just bad people, but this guy. Amen. Apathy. How about confusion? You know, the devil's delight is not to tell a lie. Did I freak you out? The devil's delight is to tell a million lies. He'll tell you so many different lies so that you give up. You just say, I can't figure it out. You know what God did? He put the truth in one book. Not in a church, but in a book. You say, I'm confused. The only reason why you're confused is because you haven't spent enough time there. One more. Maybe an attitude of rebellion. Listen to these words out of Ezekiel chapter 12 in verse 2. Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see, and they see not. They have ears to hear, and hear not, for they, and he repeats himself, are a rebellious house. Whatever it is that's stopping you from hearing this morning, clean it out. I know they always put on top of those Q-tip, the earbuds, they always say, don't use in your ears. And I go, what were they made for? Gently, carefully, our ears fill up with wax so we can't hear anything. But sometimes we shove stuff in our ears so we can't hear. Pull it out. Yank it out. Get it out. If you're listening to the wrong kind of words, if your friends are telling you everything opposite of what that book says, I would believe the Bible over them. Amen. If your heart is telling you, but my heart tells me I love her. Ignore the heart. Hear the word. You say, I just don't get anything out of church. You know why you don't get anything out of church? Because Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Oprah had you. And your friends had you. And the world had you. You need a quiet time. Apathy, you ought to be afraid of being apathetic to God, because one of these days you won't be apathetic when you're jumping around in the devil's hell. And you're screaming and nobody will hear you then. What could you hear if you just tried to listen? John 6, and we're through. John chapter 6. What could you hear if you just listened? John chapter 6 and verse 63. And as best as I know how, I preached this morning to you. I have not preached to the walls and to the chairs. And I want this for every person in this room. If you look at this, John 6 and verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, Jesus said. The flesh profiteth nothing. Nothing you do, nothing that can be done with flesh will profit you nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they're life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him, speaking of Judas. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went where? They turned their back and they went away and they walked no more with him. That must have hurt. Verse 67, then said Jesus, what an amazing thing. He turns to his own disciples, his 12. Then said he unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter, I love Simon. Then Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Never a man spake like you, Jesus. Everything you do speaks of a different life. You know, what could you hear if you just listen? You might hear the words of eternal life. You might hear it. I think they're wonderful. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. I love that book. It tells me that God loves me. Maybe you might hear somebody say from the Bible, I don't have to say it. But you know, when you're leading somebody to Christ, the Holy Spirit will confirm your sins are forgiven now and forever. You know, if you get in that book, you might just find a verse that'll tell you how to get your sins forgiven forever and ever and ever. If you listen. You might just listen to, as God says over and over, I love you in Jeremiah chapter 31, with an everlasting, unchanging love. You might hear that. You'd like to hear that from somebody on earth. I can listen to it every 5 minutes when I think of it, about what God says to you and me. I love you. You might actually hear the will of God for your life. You might actually hear that. Isaiah 30, verse 21 says, thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. You say, you can hear an actual voice? Probably not. Not unless you eat bad pizza. But you'll be walking along in life and the Holy Spirit will just grip your heart. And it's as if the Lord saith, now go this way. Wouldn't you like to know that God was leading you instead of the devil? The will of God for your life. If you just listened, my sheep hear my voice, Jesus said. And they follow me. Who you follow? You might hear, woohoo! If you listen, you might hear a shout saying, come up hither. The whole world won't hear that shout. Only Christians will hear that shout. I saw on YouTube, somebody did it very good at church over in England, did a rapture video. It was excellent. Everybody's in church there. And they're all sitting there, and the minister's getting ready to get up, and he says, everybody open your Bible too. And then, I mean, if you've got the sound on your speaker up, it goes like lightning and thunder. And that room, just in a flash, it was filled with like 200 people, and then there's like 15 people there. Thankfully, the pastor's gone too. and what happens is papers are sort of floating back down because they were in people's hands. And the people look around going, what happened? What happened? They didn't know what happened. But for the other 275 people, they heard a voice saying, come up hither! And they were gone. You know what? If you listen, one of these days, you'll hear it. It'll be soon. It will be soon. I hope you don't miss it. There's one other phrase that I hope you get to hear, and that is Jesus saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Why do you say all that? Because most will never hear any of those words that I just quoted you. Wide is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat, but narrow is the way, and straight is the gate, hard is the gate that leadeth to destruction. Did I say wrong? To the life. I'm sorry, my mind is ahead. It's to life, that leadeth to life. I can make major mistakes when I'm not thinking, amen? I'm glad you were listening, amen? That was a test. Listen to these words, Matthew 25, verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me. You will hear the word of God one day. If you ain't listening now, you will that day. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. What are you going to hear this morning? What if you died this afternoon? what you hear for all eternity is going to be based on what you did with what you heard this morning. The rest of your life could be determined on what you do with what you heard this morning. Are you going to listen to that book? Are you going to listen to the preaching of the book? Is it going to be the thrill of your life, or is it going to be foolishness? Stand with me, and every head bowed and every eye closed.